I've always worked. I was a kid growing up in New York City, in Queens. Me and my best friend, Franklin Nathaniel Williams, we used to cut grass and shovel snow for money so we could get, you know, $5 each and go get some grape knee-high and Malamars during the day. So always worked, always interested in work. Moved out of New York City and moved to Long Island. My first job in high school, I was a butcher's assistant. So I worked in a place where they had, you could buy a side of beef, and then they were, the butchers, they had the cool jobs. The butchers would cut it up, and they, you know, they package everything. And then the rest of us knuckleheads, we have to pack it in a freezer and then clean up after all the butchers. So we'd get there, and I worked there in the summertime, so I had to ride my bike there. So I'd ride my bike with a parka around my waist because it was freezing in the freezers, and it was a dangerous job. Guy I worked with got knocked out, a side of beef ribs fell on his head, and they had to take him to the hospital. So, but, you know, we didn't care. It was a couple of bucks, you know, as a couple of junior high school kids. And then I was the first person in my family, in my immediate family, to go to college. So I went to Catholic University in Washington, D.C. Let's go Cardinals. Once a Cardinal, always a Cardinal. I studied architecture there. I was hoping, and my parents were probably hoping this too, that I would get a scholarship to play football somewhere. Damn Notre Dame and University of Miami. I liked them more than they liked me. So I ended up at Catholic U, which I did play football and lacrosse there. And in the beginning, it was great the first year before my first, I have three sisters. Before my first sister went to college, my parents were paying for me. And then my sister, and they were like, you're on your own, kid. Figure it out. Which, you know, now it doesn't really make sense because all my sisters are smarter than me. They all got scholarships. So I don't know why I had to pay. But anyway, I had to figure out how to pay. So I found out that I was really good at two things, hospitality and making cocktails. So I started tending bar. I first worked on campus at a place called the Rathskeller. And then in about five or six other gin joints around D.C., I owned a couple of bars. And then because I had a degree in architecture, a friend that I actually went to high school with asked me to design a restaurant for him. And that I was actually had a job because I was graduating, and I had a job offer at a place, a firm called Swanky, Hayden & Connell. They were doing the renovation to the Statue of Liberty, and Reagan was going to hit a button and the light was going to go on. And literally, they were like 6 months behind schedule. And the interview was, can you hold this pencil? I'm like, yes, you're hired. Just whatever. Hurry up. But I never went. I ended up doing this restaurant for this guy named Jeff Bishop, that started my career as an architect. So I did a lot of hotel and restaurant work, which led to doing a lot of office interiors, and that's sort of where I really started to take off. So, but when I was younger and doing that work, it was sort of the beginning of the sort of star architect sort of era in the United States. And I woke up one morning, I looked in the mirror, and I saw Jeff Cherry, not Frank Gehry, and I said, well, I better figure something else out. And I worked with these guys from San Diego who ran a thing called the Academy for Neuroscience and Architecture. And they were studying the impact of the physical environment on the brain. So we started working with them to say, you know, if you've got a company and you need people to do something, and you put them in an environment, you can build an environment or inspire or enable them to behave in alignment with the way that that you're with your strategy. So that's sort of how I started to grow this business. And we grew it pretty fast. Went from two guys working in a second floor bedroom on DuPont Circle to 150 people around the world, doing work for the government, doing work for the Navy, and doing a lot of corporate work. But we quickly found out that the physical environment was only a small part of it, and we wanted to expand that. So we started doing technology, and we started doing organizational development. So we had this sort of three-headed monster of a business doing a lot of consulting work, turned it into more of a management consulting company. And I think that the thing that sort of drives my life now is that we had customers that came to us all the time asking us about two different things. We're a consulting company, so can you help me drop costs and raise revenue? Okay, got it. And then we had other customers who were coming to us and asking us a whole different series of questions about the nature of our relationships. How do I get my employees to give a damn like I do? How do I get suppliers that want to be partners and not servants? How do I get communities to welcome us in and not put up barriers to entry? And most importantly, how do I get my customers to want to be in a relationship, not just in a transaction? Well, the punchline is, of course, Jay, if I want you to care about me, I should care about you first. So they were building these cultures of caring around those four stakeholders, so we started doing work around that. And we found out that those companies that were asking those people questions, not the money questions, were actually doing better, making more money. So did that. That's about a 20-year-long story. Got really enamored with this idea, ended up working on a couple of books about it, a book called Firms of Endearment, and then another book called Conscious Capitalism that my dear friend Raj Sisodia wrote with John Mackey from Whole Foods. And then I got this crazy idea with my business partner at the time, because now we'd been doing this consulting thing for about 20 years. We said, we're a little burnt out on this. So what do you want to do next? So I did what any self-respecting architect would do in the middle of a financial crisis. I sold the business, moved back to New York, and started a hedge fund. And we were trying to figure out if we could invest in those companies that we were seeing. So long story short, or long story longer, as my wife always says, we raised a lot of money right in the middle of a financial crisis, almost $700 million. A couple of knuckleheads who knew nothing. Oh, I skipped one job. I did have another job in high school. I had my first job on Wall Street. I was a bike messenger. So it was the only job I ever had on Wall Street. So we raised a lot of money, and we did well. But it really wasn't the thing that was in my heart, because what I was really trying to do was change the way people thought and felt and practiced capitalism. So I had this idea that I wanted to start work with startups. That was the way to do it, to train more startups to build companies like that. So I called a friend of mine. Her name was Julie Lenzer. She was here in Maryland. She worked for a guy named Ken Allman in Howard County. And I said, Julie, I'm going to start this accelerator, and I want you to quit your job and move to New York. And she's like, yeah, no, not doing that. I'm not doing that for you or anybody else. She goes, but you should come talk to Ken. He's really going to love what you do. And I said, well, where is that? She said, Columbia. Now, you got to remember, this was back in 2006, I think, 2007. I said, where's Columbia? Because I had no idea. She sent me a MapQuest. We figured it out. And I came and talked to Ken Allman, and I moved, packed up, and moved to Baltimore. Now, there's one thing you gotta, that was 2012 when I first moved to Baltimore, 2013. Well, actually, I moved back to DC. I was making a commute. I got tired of the commute, moved to Baltimore in January 2015, and then Freddie Gray happened later that year. And we decided that we should be doing what we were doing, teaching entrepreneurs from underserved communities how to build really incredible businesses right here in the city. So we moved from Howard County, put a flag down right across from Endowment Mall, because that's where the riots started. I thought that's where we needed to be. So that's how I came to be here. And I think the most important thing for me, for a crowd like this, to think about is I'm a New Yorker, which means I hate every other city in the world. But I've chosen to stay here in Baltimore and invest in a lot of people who are sitting in the audience. Actually, one of my co-awardees is one of our portfolio companies. And we love it here. My wife loves it here. I love it here. Another one of our portfolio. They're all over the place. They're sprinkled around the room. So thank you, guys. I really appreciate this. It's a fantastic honor. I'm happy to be here with all of the rest of you. So thank you very much.